I think we all know what that sound means.
Oh, I love the noises in the background.
Welcome, everyone, to the Final Play Podcast. As you can, again, probably tell, this week is NFL preview week because NFL will be starting this week. Starting with the Super Bowl. I think it's Super Bowl champions, the Chiefs and...
Chiefs-Texans. Kick the season off on... Thursday night, US time, Friday morning, our time. It's like 10:15 Friday morning.
Well, the two quarterbacks have just got signed to massive contracts too. So Deshaun's just got signed recently.
One was a dinosaur-like contract, and Deshaun Watson's was it was still a decent contract.
$40 million. I think it was great. I think he signed at the perfect time, the perfect amount. Yeah, I think. He did it previewing each team, but yeah, I'm a bit worried about the Texans, but I'm digressing. Do you want to start AFC or NFC?
Up to you. Wherever you want to start, we'll do a PTI style 2 minutes on each team.
Yep.
And once the allotted noise that we have allocated for this. Once 2 minutes is up, which will be this.
such an underrated
doesn't
movie.
Know what that is. It is not the Minnesota Vikings sound. It is the War of the Worlds tripod sound. So, well, once that's up, then we pretty much move on to the next team. So we can sort of pump this out fairly quick. So it'll be nice. Yeah, nice quick analysis on each team. So, yeah, we've got 32 plus to listen through. So.
Really enjoyable to listen to if we're doing it in 2 minutes. Smash it out. People hear what they want to hear, which is obviously going to be the main stuff. So,
we'd do a super in-depth sort of thing on it. But, yeah, it's, 2 minutes is enough to sort of get through the important bits.
Well, we're going to go on the standings of where they finished in the regular season last year. So we might as well start in the most... I'll call it the most polarizing conference this year, the NFC, for a lot of reasons. I guess, and then we'll start with the top, which is the NFC East. Starting with the Eagles. Time is starting now.
It's almost like Sale of the Century, isn't it?
Quick!
So basically... Yeah, Philly, it was a bit of a dumpster fire, really, the NFC East. Philadelphia finished 9-7, topped the division just by one over the Cowboys. Some really good draft picks. They scored Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, former quarterback from Alabama, and the quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners last year. So they scored him as a second-round pick. Their receiving core is going to be fairly good. I think it's still got Alshon Jeffrey there. DeSean Jackson, as long as he's healthy, dealt with some injuries last year. I think he only played two or three games last year, and he was sort of a marquee signing for their receiver core last year. Two really good tight ends in Dallas Goedert and obviously Zach Ertz, who's probably top three, receiving tight end, in the league. So, it's a questionable running game. Miles Sanders there is probably the standout. He was going to be the focal point of their run game. Boston Scott, he sort of helped them out. He was sort of like their fifth or sixth string running back last year. So that'll be the big sort of talking point, I guess, for them. Their left tackle Fletcher Cox, I think, has really got to stand up this year. And giving Carson Wentz a little bit of protection. I think he needs a bit more production. He had three and a half sacks last year, as opposed to 10 and a half the year before. So yeah, it basically just turns into the Carson Wentz show, what he can do with that receiving core and basically go from there. Right on the money.
I love that sound. I'm never going to get sick of that sound. So we'll move on to my team, they finished second last year, the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, for me, it's glaringly obvious they underwhelmed last year. They've had a few acquisitions this year, and I think they started right at the top. I think hiring coach Mike McCarthy is really a key move. I really think it was smart. What he did with the Green Bay Packers, and obviously especially Aaron Rodgers up until, I guess, they had a falling out, so offensive-driven coach.
They're going nowhere with Jason Garrett, really.
No, they weren't. They were always around that 9-7, which seems to be good enough to finish, you know, top in the NFC East anyway. But they picked up what they needed to pick up. Like they did lose Randall Cobb to the Texans, but they got a steal, I think, in the draft with CeeDee Lamb falling down number 17 for him. Can easily be one of the three best wide receivers, you know, in the next few years. They picked up Gerald McCoy from the Panthers, which again was phenomenal that he was still available. They got him on the cheap as a veteran sort of minimum. And hard to put it into words, but Greg Zuerlein, I thought, you know, from the Rams, I think that's actually a good pickup.
Oh man, that's what I mean. Like they went through a lot of teams went through kickers last year, but yeah, Dallas sort of went through a few. They had Dan Bailey there for a little while.
Yeah.
But yeah, Zuerlein he's an ace.
I think they were woeful last year in their kicking. Like that's why they went through two or three last year. Like with everything for them, their biggest thing is getting over that hurdle. Like they have the team. They have one of the best rosters in the NFL. Their bigger problem is utilizing it. So hopefully they can, hopefully they can do better this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they grossly underachieved for a little while. So yeah, well, I guess that's what I mean. I guess we'll see how this year pans out for the America's team. So I guess next up will be the New York Football Giants. finally, Eli Manning decided to retire, so he's essentially handed the keys to the kingdom over to Daniel Jones.
He was a bit great at the start of the year.
Look, it did, but man, he was a turnover machine last year.
Yeah, I agree.
Not so much with interception, but his hands just fumbles.
Yeah.
That was his main problem. He just had shocking hands. They addressed a lot of things that they sort of needed to do. Like they basically drafted a brand new offensive line throughout the draft. So that will help. That's going to help them a lot. Look, signing of veteran cornerback Logan Ryan from Tennessee, that'll help the secondary. Yeah, it's their receiving core there as well. You know, there's a lot to throw at. Yeah, you've got guys like Darius Slayton, Shepard, who was hurt last year, Golden Tate
still playing great,
and Evan Engram was hurt for a lot of the season last year. Plus Saquon Barkley. Offensively, they should be better. Defensively, they were horrendous. They were third third last in points per game given up last year. So just a dumpster fire defensively. And the defensive end there, Dexter Lawrence, he's a massive unit. They picked him up at the 17th pick from last year's draft. He needs this is his second year now, so he needs to sort of step up. The big thing as well is the new coach, Joe Judge. What can he sort of carve out with Daniel Jones and that receiving core? Obviously, Jason Garrett is the offensive coordinator there, so we'll see what he can do with that group. And, yeah, that's, I mean, it could be anything for the New York Giants this year. It could be anything.
Well, and then, I mean, the glaringly, if he stays healthy and he played the way he played in his first year, Saquon Barkley, if they just give him the ball.
He'll just go from strength to strength. Like, yeah. I don't think he missed a few games last year with that, a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
So, but if as long as he's fully healthy, then he'll be the focal point of that offense.
Next team was the final team in the NFC East. We, at the moment, still called the Washington Football Team. So interestingly enough, there wasn't a lot to talk about them up until they retired their offensive nickname and logo, according to people. According to the fans, it wasn't offensive, but you know, digressing from that, it was called the Redskins, no longer the Redskins. It still hasn't been confirmed yet. A lot of fans and that are pushing for the Red Wolves. Look, they, besides all that, they had to start at the absolute bottom, and they've got Coach Ron Rivera.
Super high, very good.
He's proved he can succeed in the NBA, in the NFL. Even that, one great high. I think Jack Del Rio in their defense. Jack Del Rio, hugely underrated, especially now they've got rookie defensive Chase Young coming in at number two. I think. Obviously, that you know, the way they finished last year, 3-13. Glaringly, their defensive woes were their biggest problem. You know, getting Chase Young was definitely a great start. Across the board, they're still going to find it hard, I guess, so to speak. It depends what's going to happen if they're going to give, you know, speaking the keys of the kingdom, if they're going to give it to Dwayne Haskins. Or they're going to look at using Kyle Allen, who they required from the Panthers. So
don't forget, Alex Smith is on that 53-man roster they've cut down as well. So they've got options.
They do have options. So it's funny. I think their biggest thing is what they've done is the coaches. They hired a great defensive coordinator, a great offensive coordinator, Scott Turner, and Ron Rivera. I think could prove wonders for them.
No, absolutely. Look at that, right on the money.
I love it. I'm
timing never is just
sound.
Impeccable. This is unbelievable. So we'll continue on the NFC. We'll go through the NFC North.
Yeah, sure.
So the Green Bay Packers, year two of the Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers pairing. So. We'll see what they can do there as well. Absolutely wasted their entire draft, I believe. Just did not address any of the of their needs at all. Drafted Jordan Love in the first round. They clearly needed a complimentary wide receiver, to go along with Devontae Adams. He's a true number one. Receiver, like absolutely a true number one receiver.
Yep.
Aaron Jones there is your thumper running back. He had a super season as well. They don't have any receiving tight ends. They lost Jimmy Graham who hasn't been, obviously he hasn't been the Jimmy Graham of old, like basically since he left the Saints. But they've elevated The young kid's name's Jay Sternberger. He's going to be the number one tight end, I believe, in the in the receiving core. Mm-hmm. They've got Alan Lazard, Valdez Scantling as well. They're very low number two options there. So it'll just be what they if they can produce what they could defensively last year. Defensively, they were really well. Well-rounded, I think. Also, can they sustain what they did last year as well? They were basically 8-1 in one-score games.
Yeah.
So that whether that's sustainable or not, if you're going at say 500, if you're 4-5 or 5-4 in those one-score games, then you're doing pretty well. But because they were 13-3. This
wasn't a fluke.
This division is open.
That's what I was going to say, but I don't think that was a fluke. I think they have the tools. I just it's what you said at the top there. I think they pooed the bed in the draft. They needed a quarterback. They didn't get it. They drafted a quarterback in the first round, and they clearly needed a complimentary wide receiver, which they didn't do anything.
And
so
wide receivers by the boatload. You know, it's going to be, you know, they could be, you know, a la New Orleans Saints, where everything goes to Devontae Adams, and that's it.
Yeah, well, I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, Devontae Adams is great, but I don't think he's named Michael Thomas, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Ain't nobody named Michael Thomas. Come on.
Well, that's right. Isn't that, no one's like Michael, not that I've seen so far.
Mike, baby.
The next team is the Minnesota Vikings. You know, another team that did pretty well last year, 10-6. Their key move is that they kept a few of their good players. They did lose Stephon Diggs.
Not sure how that's going to hurt them.
I don't know, because they did draft Justin Jefferson in the first round, number 22, and I'd say he'll start sort of straight away because of Stephon Diggs. So I don't know, because, you know, they still have Adam Thielen there. Great player. He's never really not had a bad game, so to speak. So
he's a top receiver.
He is a top receiver. They did well. They picked up Michael Pierce from the Ravens as well, defensive type. But it's going to be what you sort of said. What happens to Stephon? Well, if Stephon Diggs is going to be a big loss or not, I think. I think they still have the tools there. They didn't really lose anybody. That was pretty much this whole thing. They didn't lose anybody. I know you said it's wide open, but I think they're well enough to finish probably in the top two again.
Defensively as well, so have to see if they can sort of, replicate how well they were defensively last year. Like, they didn't really, they sort of, like you said, 10-6, finished the end of the year with two losses. And that's the thing. If they can replicate that same season again this year, I think they'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, defensively they tied for fifth in the NFL for points allowed. So yeah, you're right. Defense was their key. And I mean we missed it, glaringly obvious. They've got a great running back there in Dalvin Cook as well. So offensively they're still strong. Defensively, they're strong. They just have to sort of prove it again.
No, Dalvin Cook is a huge, he has to be up to the standard that he's been in recent seasons, and be healthy and not be hurt, and that's, I mean, they sort of compare Dalvin Cook to an Alvin Kamara type player, so.
I agree with that. He can be on the way with that. I totally agree with that, to be honest.
Very much.
God, we're going good with these timings. Just throwing that out there.
Smashing it. We are smashing it. Okay, so next up, the Chicago Bears. Finished the season 8-8.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's probably the most underwhelming 8-8 season that you could probably imagine. They'll pretty ordinary offensive. Last year, in offense. They brought in Nick Foles, basically, I can only assume, to put a rocket up Mitch Trubisky's behind. They have named Trubisky as their starter. They'll give him the first 4 to 5 weeks to prove his worth. So Nick Foles being there, signings weren't that terrific. Like I said before, you know, they got Jimmy Graham, so he'll be able to help them out, sort of that receiving core there a little bit. They signed Ted Ginn Jr., he's a bit of a speedster even at his age. I think he's 33 or 34, so he'll be a long threat. For him, drafted Cole Kmet, I think that's how you say it, with the number 11th pick. He's a tight end, so that'll obviously help them as well. offensively.
Yeah, but they're still concerning for them. They drafted a very high tight end, but they also picked up a tight end in the free agency.
No, that's right. Well, he'll be the number one option, and then Jimmy Graham will probably be a backup. To me, it's
they paid a lot of money for Jimmy Graham.
No, well, that's right. Yeah, well, a veteran backup, I guess. Mm. You know, Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith. You know, two linebackers who would just put the fear of God in anybody. So they've got to be the leaders defensively for them. Yeah, there's, I mean, both of them, both this team, they'll both bottom three in offense and defense. So that really, Matt Nagy really needs to just improve on that. And it's, I mean, we'll see how they go. I could only still assume they might finish around the bottom of that division. But it's Trubisky's team. It's his starting job to lose.
And just echoing on the Trubisky, it's his final rookie deal, and they've declined his option. So
that's right.
He has to have a big year. He has no choice.
That's right. If he fails, then I think they're going to move on from him.
They have no choice. That's why they've declined it. They've literally declined it. So it's probably the best. It's actually as what's Nick Foles, as they've done for Nick Foles. It's not a bad move. If that's going to get a rocket up under you, it might actually help them.
Well, that's right. It was a win-win situation for the Jags as well. It was a salary dump for the Jags. As well, so yeah, getting rid of Nick Foles, so they only cost him a fourth rounder, so a good pickup, I think.
The final team, is the Detroit Lions. Look, not a team on the up and up. Yeah, they're not the greatest team. They drafted, I think, very well. They got personally a steal. I like the way he plays, DeAndre Swift in round two.
Absolutely. Jeff Okuna as well. They're like, you know, their top draft pick that they got. I think is going to be, he's really going to help them defensively.
Sure. Definitely. And they really the only key loss for me that they did lose was I guess probably because of Jeff Okuda, was Darius Slay got traded off to the got picked up by the Eagles.
Yeah, he was a little disgruntled as well, I think, at the end of that season. So I think there's a little bit of dysfunction between both parties there. So you know, probably the best thing for him, really.
Matt Stafford. High hopes on Matt Stafford. A lot of people have high hopes on Matt Stafford.
Everybody always does.
He's sort of in that, he's getting paid a lot more, but he's sort of in that Trubisky thing. Like, everyone has high hopes on him, or the team does. You just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know with them.
That back injury crippled him last year, and it crippled the team. You know, have a look at the quarterbacks that they were dishing out there last year.
I mean, they were 3-12. I think they can improve. It's just ridiculous to suggest how much.
I hope so.
Well, it's just ridiculous to suggest how much, because you don't know what's going to happen with them. That's going to be, that's what's going to happen with them. They did pick up linebacker Jamie Collins from New England too. So that was a decent sort of move for him. He left pretty, sort of unhappy towards the end there with New England, but. I don't know. I'm not seeing high hopes in him.
Well, and that's the thing. He would know Matt Patricia as well, coming from that New England system. So you know, that's a positive as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, we are on fire.
Absolutely on fire.
Remember, you've only got 2 minutes for this next team.
I know. Okay, so the next up we've got is the NFC South and the New Orleans Saints.
Well, if I just give you a couple more seconds, but this is probably going to be the most talked about
division. This will be a division. Very talked about division.
For a lot of reasons.
So a little bit of not so much scary news earlier on in the week where Alvin Kamara was held himself out of practice. He had a 4-day hiatus from there. Is back with the team now. Obviously, he's going through contract negotiations. They're looking at negotiating an extension for him. So that'll be interesting to see what they work out monetarily with him. Michael Thomas, offensive player of the year last year. Yeah, set a league record, 149 receptions, 1,725 yards. You know, what else? What else do you say? You know, can't guard Mike. Their first round pick sent us Cesar Ruiz. He's a bit of a multifaceted sort of player. They're looking at playing him at guard and tackle as well. So he's gonna slot in wherever he can. Obviously, we don't know what's gonna happen. Well, Drew Brees, you know, he's on for this one more season. So they've got, it's basically Super Bowl or bust really for New Orleans. Taysom Hill is getting some quarterback reps there as well. The signing of Jameis Winston is going to be extremely intriguing as the season goes on. If what happens last year and Drew Brees gets hurt, they brought in Teddy Bridgewater and they didn't really miss a beat. So can they do the same thing with Jameis Winston there? Yeah, defensively, their secondary's got to be better than what they were last year. They were super inconsistent. You know, guys like Marcus Williams, Marshawn Lattimore, you know, they've got to be better. You know, Emmanuel Sanders there as well as a secondary receiver with Michael Thomas. Hopefully that will help them out offensively. They've got Demario Davis was huge for them last year in the linebacker position. You know, they've got Malcolm and Javaris Jenkins. Defensively, they've got an unbelievable front seven defensively. Yeah. So if that continues, and yeah, points per game wise, they weren't that terrific. They were sort of mid pack, but you know, one of the highest octane offenses that's going around. So it's absolutely a must win now season. And they're going to have a, once again, like we said before, a serious rocket right up them. With they ran roughshod over the division last year. This year is not going to be so easy.
No. And with the next team, and I can start with the next team, Atlanta Falcons. You know, they have an extremely, extremely consistent quarterback in Matt Ryan. You know, last year he got 4,000 passing yards and 25-plus touchdowns. Nearly every season he gets that.
It's Matty Ice. Like, it's just what he is.
They picked up, you know, the biggest key acquisition to me was getting Todd Gurley, depending how Todd Gurley, how healthy Todd Gurley is. They picked up Todd Gurley, and they also picked up Hayden Hurst from the Ravens, who was a first rounder, but he failed to sort of catch a ball pretty much at Baltimore Ravens. So they did lose Austin Hooper.
They used a lot of tight end sets there as well. They were using two and three tight end sets. So he was the last peg on that rung. So
yeah,
a very good pickup for Atlanta. And don't forget for Devontae Freeman, they released Devontae Freeman as well.
Yeah, they did. So, but again, you've got it's going to be the key of
who would you rather, Devontae Freeman or Todd Gurley? Like, I find that so bizarre. No,
if Todd Gurley can do what he did at the in that year at the Rams, if he can get back to that form, I would easily pick Todd Gurley.
But if he's still got that lingering arthritis in that knee, then I don't know how he can do that.
Their biggest problem to me was their defense. They allowed 399 points last year, so they finished 23rd. So their defensive woes were, I guess, sort of terrible. They did pick up AJ Terrell from Clemson, number 16. So that was probably the best pickup. And then they also took Dante Fowler from the Rams. So they're trying to shore up their defense. That's to me, their offensive is
offensively
fine.
They'll be fine. Their defense with Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. Yeah, offensively they'll be fine.
Yeah, it's their defense. They were 7-9 last year. They're going to be pushed by a couple, probably all these teams, and I still think they have a chance to make the top two, which is going to be very interesting, considering we're talking about the next team.
Well, that's going to be extremely hard with, you know, it's a fairly, I guess, you know, a stacked top half of the division with, yeah, pretty much, I can only assume, the most talked about team in the NFL in the Tampa Bay Bucks. So, look, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski.
Yep.
LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
The signings, they just keep on rolling. They got rid of their 30-30 player from last year in 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, Jameis Winston, and replaced him with arguably the greatest quarterback that the league has seen. Leonard Fournette, who was replaced by the Jags and just decided to sign with Tampa. On the defensive side, they've got guys like Ndamukong Suh, who was just a beast. He was a menace.
Yeah.
And they got Shaq Barrett as well, who I thought should have won Defensive Player of the Year last year.
Mm-hmm.
19.5 sacks and 6 forced fumbles. Like, what more do you want? Like, that they defensively, they were, points per game wise and efficiency, they weren't that great. But Shaq Barrett was super last year. Mm-hmm. It comes down to what they can do with their offensive line. Can they keep Brady clean? No grass stains on the jersey. Keep him upright. Last I checked, he wasn't the most mobile quarterback. But, guys like, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, OJ Howard. He's going to have a lot.
He's going to have weapons to throw you.
He's going to have lots of options to throw to. So, yeah. And even with the running back court that we got, with Ronald Jones, LeSean McCoy, and like we said, Leonard Fournette. So it'll be interesting to see what Bruce Arians can do with that. This could be an absolutely historical offensive season for Tampa. They could just obliterate everybody if they can get everything right. And that's the point. Can they get everything? Can they get it all right and get it all flowing in this, COVID-19 type era, the era that we're in at the moment where practices are limited.
Yeah.
So there's been no preseason. So this is a team that could have very much, been benefited by preseason football.
Big time.
And I think that's why this season has sort of crept up on everybody too, because there's been no preseason football. All of a sudden it's going to be week one, let's go. Plus, so I think the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season could be absolutely anything.
Well, that's right, because they're gonna have to cut to 53 players every team, and unfortunately the ones, those rookies trying to get in there that I guess usually use a preseason to sort of benefit from, they didn't have that. So
no, that's right. Unfortunately, one person who could have benefited from it was a guy that they picked up in the last couple of days, is Josh Rosen. They picked him up to put him on their practice squad. And I think a lot of people are down on Josh Rosen. I think he just hasn't been given a chance.
No, that's exactly right.
He was on a terrible Cardinals team.
Dolphins team.
He threw 5 interceptions and 1 touchdown in his 3 starts, or 3.5 starts that he had at Miami. Miami were terrible last year, so he wasn't really going to get much help there. This is a perfect situation for him to sort of learn underneath Tom Brady, even if it is only in the practice squad. I think this could be really good for Josh Rosen.
And the Super Bowl this year just happens to be at Tampa Bay too. So
yeah, that's it's very coincidental.
As soon as they probably got that, they probably started working on Tom Brady. But
in this sort of era, with no crowds and everything, aren't Tampa getting screwed? Basically, WrestleMania got canned for them. And who's to say what's going to happen when the Super Bowl comes around with all – who are they going to be at full capacity? So, the Super Bowl, do you know what I mean? Like, they're getting royally screwed with having bid for these things, acquiring the Super Bowl and WrestleMania, and not being able to cash in on them.
You would think WrestleMania aside, I think with the Super Bowl, you would have to think they'd give him another year with the crowd. You would have to think that, because they had bid for these years and years ago, not knowing any of this. So, the last team in the NFC South, they finished 5-11 last year with the Carolina Panthers. Probably felt a little bit premature getting rid of Ron Rivera, but they did pick. They've hired Matt Rhule as their head coach. Who's brought in, his own team, Joe Brady and Phil Snow, which both run off a 4-3 scheme, which is very interesting. I think, to me, you know, their key signing so far has to be Teddy Bridgewater. You know,
no, absolutely.
Drew Brees went down. He proved he proves he can still play the game. He proved that, you know, a hugely successful backup spell for the Saints. So they also, I still find this guy underrated, or I think people find this guy underrated. They also picked up Robbie Anderson from the Jets, a wide receiver.
Robbie Anderson's real hit and miss. Like he had some monster games last year for the Jets, and then in other games he just whether or not it was the quarterback problems, he just didn't get involved in anything.
He can go missing. You're right, but in the last three seasons he finished with 750 yards and 5 touchdowns, which doesn't sound great. They all try to aim for that 1,000 yards, but like you said, he might just need that right quarterback. I just think he's a little bit underrated, you know, to what, you know, it probably needs a decent quarterback because he's so quick, which is, it's ridiculous how quick he is.
He's one of the quickest guys out there.
They were playing the Cowboys and he caught this ball. I've lost his name now. Sam Darnold. Yeah. Sam Darnold. And he caught the ball at the 50, and he blew every Cowboys defensive player away.
They scorched the Cowboys in that game. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
He was so quick. But they did lose Cam Newton to free agency, and they've also lost Greg Olsen. Luke Kuechly, but he retired.
Kuechly as well. That's a big loss for them. Losing Luke Kuechly. Knowing the division. He absolutely terrorized the Saints, as a linebacker, just knowing to be, what to do. Like, he was unbelievable.
Every eight year that he played, he had 100 tackles. So you're right. Probably a little bit. You know, he was 29 when he retired, but you know, he obviously had his reasons. So they can improve. That's what I mean. This whole division is hugely, I wouldn't say wide open, but it can be very, very, it's going to be very interesting, hugely interesting, this division.
Absolutely. NFC South.
Moving on, I guess, to the AFC, well, we'll start with the top, the AFC East.
Hang on, we've still got the NFC West yet.
I completely, poo-pooed the NFC West. I did. Poo-poo the NFC West.
They've got the reigning NFC, you know, the NFC champions there in the San Francisco 49ers. So
yeah.
Look, it comes down to whether or not they're going to have a Super Bowl hangover. Really, most teams that lose the Super Bowl, have that nasty sort of hangover the next year. You have a look at the Rams. You have a look at the Falcons. They're still going to be fairly good defensively. They were unbelievable defensively last year. Like, Nick Bosa got Defensive Rookie of the Year. Yeah. I think he had the highest for rookies, like 25 quarterback hits. But he was one of the highest in the actual league itself on how many times he actually got to the quarterback. So he'll be making them scramble a lot. So I don't think that's going to be much of a concern for them. Offensively is going to be the concern for them, in a little bit of lack of depth in wide receivers. Debo Samuel's there. Obviously they lost Emmanuel Sanders to the Saints last year. George Kittle is going to have to be a monster again to help them out. They lost Matt Breida, who was, they were running back by committee last year. They were one of the best running teams in the league. Raheem Mostert's still there. Tevin Coleman's still there. He's sort of your Swiss Army knife type running back who can catch passes out of the backfield. And they've probably got one of the best fullbacks that's in the league at the moment, who's just a thumper in Kyle Juszczyk. So for what they're going to do there offensively, Kyle Shanahan, he'll be able to scheme up something. It'll just be whether or not they can keep up that defensive intensity. Like I said, Nick Bosa there. What's Richard Sherman going to be like, another year older? So we'll see. We'll see what happens and see if that, if that 21-point deficit that was erased by the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl comes back. Kyle Shanahan signed a 3-year extension as well. So they've obviously got the belief in him. So he's there till 2025 now. So they have put all their eggs into the Kyle Shanahan basket, and we'll see what the 49ers can do.
Apologies to all the NFC US fans. Looking at this another division that could actually it could be anything. Hugely, you know, there's four teams that really could, you know, all of them could possibly finish first and or second, I guess, if we're looking at it. The next team though, the way that they've traded, the way that they've brought in, they are hugely win now, and that is the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, their biggest key move is trading for safety Jamal Adams. Yes, they did give up a lot to get Jamal Adams, but I just think he's too good not to sort of lift that defense. He's
once again another disgruntled former New York Jet.
That's right.
They're everywhere.
They did lose Jadeveon Clowney, which will be felt, you know, on the defense. But I just think, you know, Adams is that good that he should lift everyone around him. I don't know. I just for a cornerback, and I don't really concentrate on a cornerback position personally, but it's hard not to sort of see the way he plays. Like he's one of the few people, I'm sure Michael Thomas has talked about this, that he finds it difficult to play against. So
you think a lot of good receivers, you know, the likes of Julio Jones and Thomas and you know, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. when they come up against Jamal Adams, I think this we're in for a tough day. DeAndre Hopkins, guys like that, they'd be in for a tough day when you got Jamal Adams running after you. Even the quarterbacks, you'd think, well, yeah, they'd be like, well, don't really like this, you know? Do you know what I mean? Like he's a good secondary player.
On the offense, they've still got, you know, superstar quarterback Russell Wilson. Obviously, he's the star of the show. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You know, they've got really, really good wide receiver. The young wide receivers still coming up. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. You know, they both have the makings of being superstar receivers. I think what got flown on the radar, there was a couple of their sort of backups. They picked up Carlos Hyde, who will be a backup, obviously, for Chris Carson, which isn't sort of too bad. And they also picked up Greg Olsen from the Panthers. So, you know, they have depth. They really, really have depth. So they did finish in 11-5 last year. I easily could see them topping this division this year.
Easily. Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I think they've got the potential to absolutely do that.
Yeah, this division is scary. So yeah, again, apologies to NFC West fans. This division is seriously scary. Even the next two teams, my God.
Well, no, yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, we sort of as we pivot into the underwhelming Los Angeles Rams last year. Look, 9-7, you could say, okay, that's a fairly successful season. Didn't look like making the playoffs.
Great in the NFC East.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Look, you know, obviously the release of Todd Gurley, they'd moved on from him.
Yeah.
You know, they traded away Brandon Cooks. So, well, yeah, it's. I think this team could be very offensively limited. You know, obviously they've got Woods there. Cooper Kupp is their number one receiver, but I still think they could be extremely limited. They won't want to have Jared Goff have another season like he did last year. I think he'd really regressed after the season that he had the year before that, where they made the Super Bowl and then only score 3 points in it. Defensively, you know, it all comes down to AD. It all comes down to Aaron Donald. He was a little bit down on his production sack-wise last year. Only had 12.5 sacks last year, whereas the year before in 2018 had 20.5 sacks. So he'll need to bring that production. The trade for Jalen Ramsey, a disgruntled Jacksonville Jaguar. They picked him up throughout the year last year. He'll need to produce a little better, I think. So, I think when it all comes down to it, And also don't forget about their two receiving tight ends as well, Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. They finished the season. Both of those guys finished the season really well last year.
Very, very strong. So,
you know, two very good receiving tight ends. So we'll just we'll just see how they go production wise offensively. The boy genius Sean McVay there is would have had his work cut out for him this off season. So it's all on him. So we'll see how we go.
I think we had some technical difficulties possibly, but last team in the NFC West is the Arizona Cardinals. So the Arizona Cardinals did finish, you know, they finished 5-10 sort of last year. But they have a couple of key signings this year. firstly, probably trading for DeAndre Hopkins, which is probably the biggest one there.
Absolutely.
They didn't have to give up much, which is very, very interesting. But they did lose David Johnson to the Texans, so.
They're fine. Yeah, I think we're having a few technical difficulties, but David Johnson hasn't produced in 2 years, so I'm not sure what they're going to be. One of those other teams that's going to be super scary offensively, and see what they can produce.
Yeah, they've got a very, very, you know, very good quarterback in Kyler Murray. I think he can get better, and he's going to get better with having DeAndre Hopkins there.
Well, they were 5-10, you know, with a fairly limited sort of, you know, receiving core and everything. Yeah, imagine what they're going to do with a top two or three receiver in the league.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just the way I think Cliff Kingsbury likes to play. I think he's in his second year. He likes that sort of run and gun, or at least sort of, I guess, airing it out, or air raid, as they like to call it. I think they can improve. I still don't think they'll finish. They'll probably finish on the bottom, but they can definitely improve. DeAndre Hopkins is a huge pickup for them, and I'm sure DeAndre Hopkins doesn't like losing either.
No, absolutely not.
I'm pretty sure he won't like losing. No,
absolutely not.
He just comes across as a guy.
He just doesn't drop the ball. Like, that's the thing, and that's what makes him, you know, and that's what I thought would make, somebody like Deshaun Watson, the quarterback at the Texans, a very good quarterback, because you throw it to DeAndre Hopkins and he just doesn't drop the ball.
No, he doesn't. So we'll officially move on to the AFC, East. Starting with the team that probably won't finish there this year, my personal opinion, or possibly we'll find out, the New England Patriots.
Look, I guess they're it's an open division. I guess. They've got a fairly decent run game there now. Obviously, they've got Cam Newton, who they've come out and said that he's going to be the week one starter, so he's a threat in the running game. They picked up Lamar Miller, who is going to be a good signing if he can come back healthy. So we'll see what happens.
He's been cut now. So he's just cut, literally just got cut.
So that tenure there was very short lived. I can only assume that's medically. They couldn't afford to carry somebody like that. So, they've got White, Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead. The young kid Harris there. They've got a good running back core. So they've got a lot of guys that have opted out due to COVID-19 and some fairly high profile sort of guys. Dante Hightower, Marcus Cannon, offensive lineman, Matt Lacoste, the tight end, and Patrick Chung, the safety. So they've got a lot of guys that you would sort of suggest that they may be tanking for Trevor. You don't know.
Well, there's two teams, I think.
There's two teams. I think this is one of them. It ended up having that trade. You know, they obviously lost Tom Brady. Signing with Tampa Bay, but yeah, you know, what they scored out of it with the Gronk trade, yeah, you know, they ended up getting a seventh rounder and sent a fourth rounder to Tampa Bay. So that's decent. The McCourty boys have got to be massive on defense again. Stephon Gilmore, who was the defensive player of the year, they've got to really step up. Yeah, they cut Mohamed Sanu, who was a wide receiver there. So it's going to be, the Julian Edelman there, they could be another one of these limited offensive teams. And they had a historic defense last year. I just don't think that they can keep that up.
No, there's too many key people that are staying out this year for COVID. It'll be just interesting to see what the man Cam Newton's going to do. You know,
if he's MVP, healthy. That's right. 2015 MVP.
I think it's a perfect signing for them and him because there's so many people out, and it's a win-win. So like he can play terribly, and then okay, they did just one of those sort of the seasons because of COVID, and so it's not all his fault. Or he could just play lights out, and then they picked up the quarterback on the cheap. So I don't know. Right. It's kind of a win-win for them. Like even tanking for Trevor. We're talking Trevor Lawrence here, by the way. It'll be interesting to see what Cam Newton's going to actually do because he's supposedly very healthy. So,
and that's the thing. It'll be it can all be very healthy, and you're wearing the red vest at practice, the don't touch me vest when you're not getting hit. It's going to be when it comes game time and the offensive line breaks down and he's got to scramble and he's getting hit. Yeah. That's going to be the durability aspect of it to see if his body can hold up, because no doubt he's one of the best running quarterbacks that the league has seen in this century, and his numbers prove that with Carolina. So it's the health factor. So New England, we'll just have to wait and see what Bill Belichick can sort of come up with, and it's the fact that they haven't been able to. What they'll be able to do offensively, they'll be able to run so much stuff because they haven't been able to do that with Tom Brady because he's a fairly immobile quarterback. Mm. Now they've got Cam Newton. That could open up New England's playbook. And it's just the cattle that they've got there. N'Keal Harry as well, the receiver. So it's just the limited amount of people that they've got for Cam to actually throw to. Like they could become one of those run heavy offenses.
The next team, which is the team that I think is easily, to be honest, should win this division, is the Buffalo Bills. Had a phenomenal, speaking of teams that had a phenomenal defense, they would play lights out defense last year. They only allowed 259 points, which was second in the NFL behind the New England Patriots.
Two very tough in the same division.
They offensively, I guess, what sort of let them down last year, they only sort of scored 314 points, but they did trade for one Stephon Diggs. So they've got Stephon Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley. That's a decent sort of, Cole Beasley probably running routes, but that's a decent sort of wide receiver.
That's right. Cole Beasley's that slot receiver. So, he'll be a good safety net.
And Josh Allen is just getting more and more confident. So I think defensively, I think, they're lights out. They've got Tre'Davious White. He's a great cornerback. He's leading that sort of, that defensive NFL team, and also behind Ed Oliver, another breakout, the second year defensive tackle. So it was their offense, and they surprised a lot of people, finishing 10-6. It's if they can sort of click with this offensive, that'll be the key for them. I really think they can easily, honestly, top this division easily.
Well, Jets, I mean, Josh Allen just needs to improve. You know, everybody says he's got an absolute cannon of an arm.
Yeah.
He just needs to improve accuracy. So, and yeah, that was always the talk of him when he came out of Wyoming, was it's just an absolute cannon of an arm. But he, I think even in college, he was only completing like 53-54% of his passes, and that just doesn't, in this age of the NFL, that just doesn't cut it. Like, you can't do that. You've got to be, you know, a high efficiency sort of guy, unless you're going to have good wide receivers around you. And now that they've got Stephon Diggs, that's really going to help him out, I think, a lot.
Yeah, so, look, he's a rising quarterback. You're right. I just think he's exactly what you just said. He needs to settle and just, you know, wait to sort of see what's out there. He doesn't have to be so erratic and use that big arm that he has. So they also picked up, as a sleeper, they also picked up Zach Moss as well. You know, they did lose Frank Gore, but Frank Gore was 37. But Devin Singletary had a great season. So they'll be cooking easily to me to win the AFC East. Because not many other teams are going to win it. Unfortunately.
Unbelievable.
Next team is the third team, the New York Jets.
So it's going to be the Nets. We're going to the New York Jets. Look,
it's hard to talk about it one night.
Yeah, I know. Look, they've got a lot of disgruntled former employees there, so we'll see what we'll see. they just shipped them out. So they looked at trailing for Kalen Ballage from the Miami Dolphins. That trade was vetoed. It didn't look like he'd recovered properly from that hamstring injury, so that fell through. You know, obviously trading Jamal Adams and a 2022 fourth round pick to Seattle, they ended up getting back Brad McDougal and a first and a third from next year for 2021 and a first rounder from 2022. So they picked up two first rounders.
Yeah.
So once, and it is, how many more times do you want to say that they're going to go through a rebuild? But it comes down to the improvement of Sam Darnold, what he can sort of produce this year. Obviously, he was struck down with mono last year. They ran through quarterbacks like laxatives. Everybody got hurt. They've got a serious lack of number one receivers there. You know, they still got Jameson Crowder. They picked up Chris Hogan from New England. So we'll see what happens there. They've also got Breshad Perriman as well. So he was a number three option there at Atlanta last year. So they've got him as well. Le'Veon Bell for his first year was probably not real happy with the way that he played, with the way that the team played. Mm. And they finished 7-9, so not so much that you can't complain about that. Le'Veon Bell has to step up. CJ Mosley has to be healthy so they can be better defensively. And the big rig, Quinnen Williams, he's got to make that step up from that first year and be a leader this year defensively for them, because he is a unit and he could really, really help them out.
Oh, he played great last year. He'll be that pro bowler this year. There's no doubt in my mind.
CJ Mosley is now going to have more responsibility than ever now that Adams is gone.
Yeah.
So, and the two, he only played two games last year and he almost influenced their first game that they had. And I can't remember who they played. I think it was Detroit that they played in the first round last year and choked the game away.
Yeah.
Right at the end when Jamal Adams got hurt, like he was owning the offense there, and then he got hurt, and then all of a sudden they choked away like a 14-point lead or a 12-point lead. So yeah, he absolutely has to be the leader defensively there, say with Quinnen Williams.
A team that I think's, you know, possibly on the up and up, purely because of the fire sale they had last year, was the Miami Dolphins. You know, a lot, they went crazy with their moves last year, and everyone thought they were going to finish 0-16, and they surprised everybody. Unfortunately, we even said it last year, I think. They said there's no way they're going to win any games, and they surprised everybody and finished 5-11, which dropped them to the...
Why were they winning? They dropped to the fifth pick. I said it all last year.
If they didn't beat New England right at that last game last year, they would have been third pick, so they dropped to the number five pick. But
I mean, they still got the desired result. Like we said, you know, and everybody said it all last year, you know, the tanking for Tua. So they still, you know, as an end game, they still got the man that they wanted. But, oof, boy, it was a very unorthodox way of doing it by winning five games.
Yeah, unorthodox aside, there was a couple other sort of key signings for me. Well, I'll start, I guess, with the draft pick. They picked up Austin Jackson from USC, tackle out of USC, and they also picked up a cornerback. These are all in the first round, by the way. So,
oh, they had 1,000 first-round picks.
They're trying to revamp the defense, which is great, but their key acquisitions were they really brought right. They brought Byron Jones. Yes, he's now the highest-paid cornerback, well, until Jamal Adams gets his money. But he, you know, that's a great pickup.
From
the Cowboys. So, their defense is really ramped up. They've also picked up two running backs, Matt Breida and Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard's, I guess, built for that sort of short yardage, like carrying sort of, you know, he'll do a lot of carries. Matt Breida's, to me, possibly an unknown quantity. Could be good, could be not, I guess. Kyle Van Noy, that was the other one.
That's what I was thinking of. Yes, because yeah. Van Noy. The problem is like they probably would have had to have paid overs to get those guys, but at least they're now looking towards the future.
Yeah, I think they've done well, honestly. So, you know, they shored up the defense because that was what they were lacking in. They've still got you know, great wide receiving cores, great tight end cores. So they. Yeah, they're definitely a team on the up and up. I mean, they only finished 5-11 last year, so it's possible. Depending on what happens with Patriots, it's possible. It's very possible they could finish second. Extremely possible. Which would be crazy just to think about that. I really think they could finish second looking at this now. Depending on what Patriots do, they could easily finish second. Because the Jets will not.
Oh, absolutely they could. See, you want them to win this year. Last year, you didn't want them to win.
I don't know why. They're always a sentimental favorite, Miami Dolphins. Their team you just want to love.
It's because they've been a terrible organization for the last 20 years. So, now they've got Fitzmagic. He's going to be the starter week one. But now that they've got Tua, a lot of people there would think that they've got an actual future now.
I think it goes back to the Dan Marino days, just having, you know, just everyone loved Dan Marino personally. So. Oh,
that's what I mean. But Dan Marino, you know, great quarterback, movie star, like, you know, come on.
Movie star. Oh, let's move on to the AFC West. Super Bowl champ.
Right, so the AFC West, we have the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, honestly, what do you say? Like, you know, they picked up... They had the 32nd pick. They picked up Edwards, as you say, at Hilaire,
Charles Hilaire.
It's Claude Edwards Hilaire. I think
Paul
that's
Edwards Hilaire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Charles came from. Sorry.
So yeah. So you know, he should be a good plug and play type running back there. You know, one of the best tight ends in the game, Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. The speeds that Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins there. Defensively, you know, I think they surprised a lot of teams at the end of the year. Like that, they were at the start of the year that would just beat you in a shootout. Mm-hmm. We can score more points than you. But as the year went on, defensively, they started to shore up a little bit. So, Matthew there, the safety. He's going to be good. Alex Okafor and Frank Clark up front were massive, and they need to do the same thing again. But, you know, basically all comes down to what Patrick Mahomes can do, you know, the newest half a billion dollar man.
I read that and you're still just hearing $500 million. Wow.
Oh, it's disgraceful. But and the thing is though, like that still doesn't even start for another 2 years yet. Like you still got it's 140 million guaranteed, so that's an important number as well. It comes with incentives, so you know it's probably not going to total that 503 million total. It won't be that. He's on $2.8 million this year, and like $2.5 or something next year. So with minimal changes that they've done this year, you could honestly see them just running roughshod over this division and over the league. And there's another Super Bowl in their future.
I think it's, you know, they picked up what they needed to pick up in a running back, and they didn't really lose much. So, I totally agree with you. The next team surprised a few analysts, so to speak. The Denver Broncos. They finished 7-9 last year. They did well in the offseason. They drafted well. They drafted somehow. He fell number 15 in Jerry Jeudy.
Jeudy, man, what a pickup.
They also picked up another wide receiver in KJ Hamler in the second round, who, he's another sort of quick, quick wide receiver. The other sort of ones that they picked up was Melvin Gordon. So, interesting pickup. They have Philip Lindsay there. I don't know. Apparently they're going to run it like as what they've said, like a tandem. So they're both going to be playing. So we're both going to get the same amount of snaps. So it's going to be interesting to sort of see what happens there, because Melvin Gordon is a great player. And they also picked up for a little bit of a steal, Jarrell Casey from the Titans, just defensive end from the Titans. So they lost a couple of key losses. Probably the biggest one was Chris Harris. I don't know why these two teams, all they do is swap divisions. So Chris Harris went to the Chargers, and then on the flip side, Melvin Gordon's come from the Chargers. So
yeah,
they just must like their division. So they have pretty much handed the keys clearly to Drew Locke, because they've let Joe Flacco go, which, yeah, that's – I don't think Joe Flacco's unfortunately probably playing again. So –
Well, he's the back. He's a backup now at the Jets. So, Flacco. Ah. So that's, I mean, they've given him the brush. Yeah, and like you said, they've handed the keys to the castle to Drew Locke. So, I'm excited to see what Jerry Jeudy can do.
Yeah, I mean, still got you don't have to talk. We don't talk about him that much, but they still got one Von Miller, who's still Von Miller at the end of the day.
That's right. He's still Von Miller.
So doesn't matter how he played last year, he's still Von Miller. So yeah, they'll be good. They should still finish second, possibly, because there's a couple other decent teams sort of coming up on the up and up.
Oh, absolutely. So next up in the division will be the newly uprooted from Oakland and moved to Sin City, Las Vegas Raiders. I know we're going to get so many times to get that wrong. We're just going to have to say the Raiders.
You have to say the Raiders.
I'm going to totally forget that they're in Vegas. Boy, that's going to be trouble for their players if they actually have to live there in Vegas. That's trouble.
It's going to be trouble for the whole NFL. The other teams can't wait to probably go there. Anyway, sorry, continue.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a super weekend. Picked up, had the 12th pick, scored Henry Ruggs, super receiver. They're trying to help out Derek Carr. Unbelievable. Yeah, they're trying to help him out. And they'll have a decent receiving core there. They've got Tyrell Williams, Hunter Renfro, Waller, the tight end, who had an absolute breakout year last year. Mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs, again, these are high draft picks that they had last year. Josh Jacobs was one of the best rookie running backs for the previous Oakland Raiders.
One of the best running backs of last year.
Everyone panned
Gruden for taking him. So it was a stroke of genius. They might do it again with Henry Ruggs, but that was the biggest thing. I went, well, you know, not what he was doing, but, you know, they all say, well, Henry Ruggs, yeah, you know, they drafted him, but look what he did with Josh Jacobs. It's phenomenal.
No, that's right. Exactly. So, you know, there's, you can't really fault that as a pick. You know, he's one of those surefire hits. They also picked up Nelson Agholor as well from Philly. So he was sort of a number two option there. Like, his hands let him down a little bit last year. But they got, yeah, they got plenty of young guys defensively there. So look, we'll see what they can do. You know, everything's going to be a new environment there in Vegas. I think there's a lot of hype sort of surrounding there. And unfortunately, there's going to be no crowds that are going to pack up the new stadium. So that's going to kind of suck for them. So, yeah, I mean, they're still an interesting team and a work in progress, I think.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with that. You know, they've got Mr. Gruden there, so I think John Gruden will pay wonders for him last year. So, you know, a lot of people wrote him off last year. It's probably, you know, the other one, they've got Derek Carr, but they've also got a great backup too. So,
and that's right, Marcus Mariota, you think he put a little bit of pressure on, Derek Carr there.
The final team in the AFC West is the Los Angeles Chargers. You know, I'm watching them Hard Knocks at the moment. So it's interesting to sort of talk about it and listen and watch what they're doing on Hard Knocks, but they got a new uniform, new stadium. And so far, it will be
a stadium even going to be ready.
Well, possibly. But I don't think it really matters anyway. Like, it's not like anybody's going to be in there as long as the field's ready.
As long as it's ready for WrestleMania next year.
They have it will be ready by then. They have a new quarterback too. So, and I'm not talking about the one they picked from number six, but they did lose Phillip Rivers, who moved on. So they were able to keep Tyrod Taylor, which I think, to me, was a key move for them. Like, they,
yeah, he's underrated, but yeah. I mean, he's a solid quarterback, but it's the job's there for Justin Herbert to take.
But then, you know, I just think it might give him time to sort of, you know, if Tyrod plays okay, it might give time for Justin Herbert, who's got a cannon. Like, talking about cannons of arm, when I was watching him in Hard Knocks, like, that guy just, you know, he doesn't blink that much to throw 80 yards. It's unbelievable, his arm size. He's a tall guy as well, but
he's at 6'6", 6'7". Oh, I might not be that tall, but I think he's about 6'6", so he's a decent size.
So I think, you know, I think having Tyrod Taylor there might give him time to sort of, I guess, get used to sort of the game is really what I'm sort of getting at. So, because I don't think with Oregon he, you know, the Oregon didn't see much into the postseason, so to speak. So they
meaningful games in the Pac-12.
Good point. They, you know, they did lose Phillip Rivers, and they've also lost Melvin Gordon as well. So offensively, they which they didn't do great last year. They still have Keenan Allen, which is good, but defensively, that, you know, picking up Chris Harris and All-Pro Chris Harris from the Broncos should be too bad for them. But can they improve from 5-11? Not sure. We'll just have to wait and see.
You would hope so. So I guess we're going to the next division. We'll go on to the AFC South. Mm-hmm. So that will be the Houston Texans, who shored up their quarterback position for the next at least 4 years anyway. You know, 4 years, $160 million extension for Deshaun Watson. You know, super move for them. They've made the commitment for him. You know, a lot of people crashed his Zoom call / press conference about the signing and everything. He broke down. He's a very, you know, he got very emotional about it, talking about the team and how Bill O'Brien trusts him and everything. So,
that's what I like about him. He's severe, you know,
he's committed to this team.
That's right. That's exactly right. I think clearly what everyone has a massive go at Bill O'Brien because of what he let go, which I'm sure you're going to talk about in a second. But Deshaun sees so much vision in him. So,
he
mustn't be that bad of a guy. Sorry.
So you at least, you at least you want your star quarterback to buy in to what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. So It just seems like so long ago. Like it was March, but it seems like March 2019, not 2020. You know, the Hopkins, David Johnson trade. So, we'll see how they go. You know, they lost the top three receiver in the league. Didn't really sort of get that much in return. Not so much in return for DeAndre Hopkins, but as in return for. For their receiving core, you know, they got Brandon Cook and Randall Cobb that they brought in. They've still got Will Fuller, Kenny Stills there, Kiki Cootie as going to be their guys there as well. So still, Bill O'Brien is going to be under the pump as a coach. JJ Watt, he only played 8 games last year. He was hurt, so he's going to have to be sort of that linchpin defensively. There, they got sort of unceremoniously dumped out of the playoffs last year. They had they were up 24 against Kansas City last year and ended up getting chopped down. So that was a bit of a disappointing end to their season last year. So they'll want to be top of the division again.
And it's highly possible. I mean, Deshaun Watson is a great player. You know, they also do have David Johnson in that trade. As terrible as that trade was for Deion. Sorry, not four, that they trade away DeAndre Hopkins. David Johnson, can be a decently rated running back.
Can be. This is another division that's going to be super open, I think.
Oh, hugely, yes, except for the final team that I'm going to talk about. But anyway, I don't think that's going to take 2 minutes. The next team is the Tennessee Titans. They it was a tale of two chapters for them last year. It was a tale of before Ryan Tannehill and after Ryan Tannehill, because once Ryan Tannehill coming as a starting quarterback, they got to 9-7 and had a lights out postseason.
They got some big scalps in the postseason last year.
Oh god damn, didn't they?
Baltimore and New England. That's not bad.
And it's all on the back of hugely on the way Derrick Henry was playing. Derrick Henry was just. He's a monster of a guy. I have no idea how that big of a guy can run that fast.
How do people tackle him? Like, I wouldn't want him running at me. Good God.
He does not have a shred. Like, they say 5%. I don't even think he has 1% body fat. His legs are just, he's a massive human being.
100% thickness.
He's in Australian terms, he's in a massive human being that could run 100 meters in nearly 10 and a half seconds, which is Olympic times. It's absolutely phenomenal. Sure. But they also they've got some key signings. A late key signing in Jadeveon Clowney signing. They were able to sign him as a defensive end, which is great because
super pickup.
I think that was, while the points score they weren't to, that points allowed for them, it could have improved. And that's a huge pickup for them. I was extremely impressed that, for them getting a Jadeveon Clowney. Well,
today, was that today signing or yesterday signing? It's only recent.
Yeah. They also picked up, he's been inconsistent. He could be better. He's supposed to be better in Vic Beasley. Who is an all-pro player. So they defensively is where they needed to improve, and I think that's what they've done. They did lose Marcus Mariota, but, it's pretty straightforward. I easily think it's Ryan Tannehill's team, and they've got the tools. They will push hard. For that number one, hugely.
Well, they've signed both of them to be extensions, so
yeah,
they're all in on that style of play again. So who's to say that it won't work again this year?
Next team is
next up we've got a very intriguing sort of team, the Indianapolis Colts. They ended up getting Phillip Rivers. What can old man Rivers sort of produce for them?
And everything that I'm hearing from camp is they are infatuated with Phillip Rivers the way he's in that camp at the moment. The players are even. It's amazing. You're like old man Rivers. I get what you're saying, but yeah, I don't know what the interesting dynamic that team.
Yeah, no, very. Yeah, and yeah, good receivers there. T.Y. Hilton. Yeah, they've got Pittman there. Paris Campbell. Yeah, good running back. You know, Marlon Mack, who was sort of, you know, up and down sort of last year. So it's, yeah, it'll be interesting. Like Quinnen Nelson, who's a left guard for them. This is his third season now. He was a high draft pick for them a couple of years ago. He'll need to keep trending up for this side. Yeah, he'll definitely need to hold his own in protecting Phillip Rivers and that blind side of his. Because there's the notion going around that Phillip Rivers sort of likes to hang onto the ball a little bit too long. There's plenty of times last year in his last season with the Chargers that he just got absolutely clobbered. And yeah, still he just picked himself up and kept on going. He'll need to play for another couple more years to sort of keep providing for the 26 children that he's got. So yeah, he's still going to play a few more years yet. The big signing for them was getting DeForest Buckner from San Francisco. Like huge move to pick him up. And straight up sign him to a 4-year extension.
They didn't have to lose. So they didn't lose they weren't much mucking either.
Around. No. That was an absolutely huge move for them. So that should help them defensively. So that'll be it. The offensively is where realistically they have to improve a lot more. Like, okay, I get it. You know, defensively they've got to be better, but with Phillip Rivers there, you'd think would be a little bit more competent than somebody like a Jacoby Brissett. So, picked up Jacob Eason as well as a backup. So we'll see how the play goes as well. Thin at tight end. I think that's going to be their problem. They picked up Trey Burton from Chicago, but he's out. He got hurt in practice. So, and Jack Doyle is the evergreen Jack Doyle. He's still hurt. So very thin at tight end there.
They also drafted pretty well in Jonathan Taylor too. Supposedly,
That's right. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, running back that they picked up as well. So, he'll sort of push Marlon Mack for number two running back there and get a lot of carries. So, they should be a competent enough team this year. Whether they can improve on 7-9, who knows?
Well, then no one expected them to do 7-9 last year, considering what they're losing Andrew Luck right at the start of the season. So
that was just such a stunning revelation that come out that he was going to retire. So that just plunged their whole season into just turmoil. For them to finish 7-9 is extremely admirable.
Which is interesting that they obviously seem not enough faith in Jacoby Brissett, you know, to turn that around.
That's unfortunate.
Very interesting, but the next team, clearly the team that are tanking hugely, absolutely hugely for Trevor Lawrence, and that is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
What are they going to do with Minshew Magic, though, if they actually get Trevor Lawrence? Like, what's up with that?
The key move that they've done this year, the biggest thing I wrote down here is that they're cleaning up the salary cap sheet for the next 2 years.
Salary dumps. That's what I said right off the top. The Nick Foles move, salary dump.
AJ Bill.
They only just signed him. They just signed him for like $80 million.
4 years, and they're dumping the
salary already.
Yep. Yeah, they've dumped a lot of salaries. You know, Calais Campbell, which, you know, they have a very good defensive team. AJ Bowie's gone. They
no more Jalen Ramsey.
No
Leonard Fournette. Like that. Yeah, they're just dumping everybody.
David Njoku as well?
Yannick Ngakoue. Yannick Ngakoue. They got rid of him. Like they're having a fire sale. Tony Khan is having a fire sale.
It's hard to, you know, obviously Minshew Mania, Gardner, at this point of their careers, Gardner's better than Nick Foles. So I will give them that. You know, that was a waste of the $88 million over 4 years.
Well, would that have changed if Nick Foles hadn't have got hurt and broke his collarbone in the second quarter of the season opener? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if that doesn't happen, Nick Foles is Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, he can get hot and get hot quick.
They, yeah, and sorry, the other one they lost was, no, I've lost his name. Yeah, they basically, it was just a fire sale. I will be absolutely surprised if they win any games this year. I will be hugely surprised, which is terrible to say. But
can they get to 6-10 like they did last year?
I do not see that happening. Although, you know, they did sign Jay Gruden as their offensive coordinator, which is very interesting. So
that's a very interesting hire that they picked up Jay Gruden after being dumped by the Washington football team last year.
So, yeah, it was perplexing, put it that way. I mean, I'm surprised Doug Marrone let that happen, to be honest, but
very interesting. Knows? All right, so last division, so we're nearly there. The AFC North. The Baltimore Ravens finished top of the division, you know, just unbelievable last year, 14-2, you know, a historic offense, you know, the unstoppable Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he MVP. I can't remember if he was a unanimous MVP or not, but you know, man, he had rushing yards. He had over 1,200 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns, 36 TDs through the air. So he had an amazing season.
Yeah, improved. Yeah,
basically got John Harbaugh the coach of the year. So can they improve on that? What are teams going to do as they scheme this year to try and stop him? So I think it's going to be a very different look for them this year. Can they continue to do the same things that they were doing last year? I wouldn't think so, but you never know. They like to run those multiple tight end sets. So, you know, they've still got Mark Andrews there, who was pretty much their top receiver last year. And he had 64 catches and he had 10 touchdowns. Mm. So they had a fairly spread offense, but a lot of it sort of come through the elusiveness of, you know, of Lamar Jackson. They also had Mark Ingram there as well, who's a good thumper, running back, probably not the best pass catcher, but, you know, is always reliable in the run game. Hollywood Brown.
Picked up a decent running back too in the draft.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Hollywood Brown is still going to be a deep threat for them. He only had 46 receptions last year, so that'll have to improve if teams can go out there and try and keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket and make him a pocket passer. Like I mentioned before, you know, Mark Ingram, love him. He was massive last year for them. I think he was an underrated part of their offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had five receiving touchdowns, 10 rushing touchdowns. You know, averaging 5 yards a carry as a running back. So, you know, offensively, he'll be another threat for them. So can they produce another huge season again? They were disappointing in the postseason, obviously getting beat by Tennessee after winning the division. So their main goal now will be, you know, is postseason glory. So, John Harbaugh has got... Well, that's right. And, you know, and the Earl Thomas situation that happened as well, where, Chuck Clark, the guy that both of those got into it, there was a blown coverage at practice. They had a bit of a scuffle afterwards. There were some punches thrown. And then straight away after that, they just unceremoniously dump Earl Thomas. So, he left practice and then they basically told him not to come back. So, that'll be interesting to see, to see how that pans out, because he would have been a great pickup for them defensively. So, but like I said, postseason glory, is what they'll be shooting for this year.
The next team that, I guess, surprised some people, and this is probably a testament, I guess, to Mike Tomlin. Didn't surprise some people. They Pittsburgh Steelers, they finished 8-8 last year. They lost Big Ben. Well, they lost Big – how did they finish? Yeah, I have no idea, because they lost Big Ben after six quarters of football. So it was the defense. You know,
absolutely.
The biggest signing they had last year was Minka Fitzpatrick. Him in the secondary was unbelievable. They had T.J. Watt in the defensive line.
T.J. Watt there as well. They've got some menaces there defensively.
Oh, their defense was what got them to 8-8 last year.
Rudolph and Duck Hodges weren't going to get them there.
that's exactly right. Looks like Big Ben's fit and ready to go. It's hard to sort of know what he's going to do. I don't think he's going to have another 5,000-yard passing season again. But on the back of that defense, if he can stay healthy, they will improve. They picked up – I think their signing, their key signing was Eric Ebron from the Colts.
Absolutely. Super
tight. He's looking very healthy. You know, in the training camp, they're all saying he's running zones very, very well for a tight end. So
he'll be their number one tight end. Like, they had a few average tight ends there last year. They still got Vance McDonald there. But Eric Ebron, if he's healthy and ready to go, he'll absolutely be their number one tight end.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. They also picked up – he's apparently having a lights out – preseason, Chase Claypool from Notre Dame in round two. Everyone is huge, exceptional speed, but they're saying he's having they got Juju obviously on one row this year. They're saying he could be the number two. He's playing that well in preseason that it's possible Ben will be WR2 for the Steelers. I think they'll finish second. I really do. I think the next two teams, it's an unknown, but I really think they'll finish second.
Yeah, you would think so. I think they should be much improved on last year. Like you said, how the hell they finished 8-8, I'll have no idea. So the next up is going to be basically a no excuse, I think, Cleveland Browns.
Probably the most polarizing team out of all this.
Well, that's right. You know, they were a little bit of fig jam last year. You know, if I'm good, just ask me.
That's because they had so many people.
Oh, anyway. That's right. And they've got the same thing this year. Like, they've got an unbelievable offense. So, you know, the new coach there, and Kevin Stefanski, has come across from Minnesota. What sort of, you know, what's he going to provide scheme-wise for Mayfield to get him into the game, to get him looking like he did in his rookie season, show those flashes of brilliance? They've got depth all the way around in all skill positions. Picking up, unbelievable pickup from Atlanta and Austin Hooper.
I have no idea how they were able to get him.
How they got that, I have no idea. That sort of, got under the skin a little bit of David Njoku, who wanted out, and now he's he's going to buy back in. So let's see how that goes and what sort of reps he gets with the number ones. If he's getting any receptions or anything in the pass game, that'll change fairly quickly, I would think. And also another move that seems like, you know, just 1,000 years ago was this, was the extension of Myles Garrett. Anyone who watched the NFL last year, we all know about the incident with him and Mason Rudolph, how there was supposedly the N-word being thrown around. Then there was also helmets being thrown around. So they've obviously got the faith in him. You know, they signed him up 5 years, $125 million extension. So
he's great. He's a great player.
He's a number one pick. Like, he's an unbelievable talent, a super brain fart in what happened last year. It comes down to the smorgasbord of weapons that Baker Mayfield is going to have offensively. They could be one of those teams that they won't worry about defense. We'll just score more points than you.
They've also got Nick Chubb. They're very run, and Tyreek Hill in their background too. So they've got a very
It's a smorgasbord of weapons. Yeah. Like, you can just walk along with a big ladle and pick up, oh, who do we want this time? Well, we'll run something for Nick Chubb. Run something for Odell Beckham Jr. Like, it's going to be unbelievable.
But there's no excuses.
No excuses.
It's for Baker. There's no excuses for Baker Mayfield. That's how I see it.
I get it. He's had different coaches, offensive coordinators. But it's getting to that point now where it's just going to, you've got these weapons to at your disposal. He's got to be better.
He has to be. He has to be. He has to justify that number one pick, which segues into the last team, the Cincinnati Bengals, who, I mean, to me, their key move was who they drafted at number one, and Joe Burrow. He looks the goods. He obviously is going to be their franchise player. He'll have plenty of targets to throw to. You know, if AJ Green looks like he's going to be healthy enough to
looks like he's back and ready to go and striking up a really good combination with Joe Burrow.
And also the other one that's striking up a very, very good a combination with Joe Burrow is T. Higgins, who got drafted out of Clemson. So it's possible he could...
And they've got Tyler Boyd there as well. Like, he was their number one for a long time last year.
So I think he's got plenty of weapons to throw to. I just don't know if he's got enough blockers that's going to help him. So that's, I mean, they're only a team on the way up because they're, you know, defensively, they finished 25th last year and offensively they finished last. So they have to be two wins.
That's right. Two wins. You would think that the only way is up, but yeah. if you're going down from two wins, then that's big trouble.
Joe Burrow had to be the number one pick. I mean, it's pretty glaringly evident. They've got a terrific and they've signed him to an extension of $48 million, a terrific running back in Joe Mixon, who had a great season last year.
I really like the way Joe Mixon plays. Yeah. I think he's going to be a serious part of their offense next or you know this coming season.
I just think it's for me, you know, they don't have to go there and prove anything just because Joe Burrow there. I think it's just patience. I think patience is their key.
That's what it'll be.
They could easily, you know, they could easily get on the way up like we sort of said that I probably not this year, but I can see in a few years they're a team that easily, you know, could start pushing for that second position. So it'll come back to see how much protection Joe Burrow gets. That'll be for me.
It's fair. It's patience, and that's basically what it comes down to. They've just got to wait and see what they've got with him, and basically just sit on it, and roll with the punches of what he's going to. It's going to be an up and down season, and you could only hope that if you can't improve on two wins, then. Yeah, then you're gonna have to look at something else that's going around. But he's gonna he should have some decent guys to actually throw to. And like you said, it's whether or not they can protect him enough. So he can get a nice clean pocket. Because AJ Green is he's a top 10 receiver on his day. So before he got
those niggling injuries, he was all pro. Consecutively. So he is 32 now, so he's on, I guess, on the wrong side if you're looking at it sort of that way. But he's had
a full season of no knocks.
Yeah.
So that means as long as he's injury free, his body should be feeling pretty good. And I think he's ready to prove everybody wrong.
Well, that'll do it. All 32 NFL teams we've accounted for. I think we did, about an hour of 30. That's not too bad. We did pretty good. A lot better than I thought we were going to do. I think we did this last time, and I think it was nearly 2 hours.
So we're improving. So, yeah.
We're improving. We did good. We did good. So, NFL starts. Hey?
Super Bowl pick.
Super Bowl winning or Super Bowl teams?
Just who's going to make the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. I have no weaknesses. I'm gonna have to say the Chiefs.
Well, let's see. I think the AFC is pretty obvious.
The AFC is obvious. Of course, I'd love to say the Cowboys. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the 49ers can do it again. Personally, I mean, as great as their defense is,
Jimmy G's. You'd hope that it's, I mean, as a team, like I said before, you know, the Super Bowl hangover, but you just got to hope for the improvement of Jimmy G. But I think they need a little bit of help receiving core wise. I think it's honestly
between our two teams. I think there's every chance the Saints could make it. You know, depending how Drew Brees plays the way Drew Brees plays, but our team, the Cowboys, they can make it. They have the team.
Well, now that they've dumped Jason Garrett, who I think a lot of people out there think that he was the guy holding him back, and I guess we'll find out.
But obviously there's that one glaring team that it depends what happens with Tampa Bay. If Tom goes out there and just has a blind in the first two games, that they'll shorten up real quick. Real quick.
Well, week one is Bucks Saints.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm not expecting a lot from it because, like I said, we haven't had preseason football, so I'm just not expecting a lot out of the first three to four weeks, maybe.
That game's gonna be massive.
I think it's the 4 o'clock. I think it's the 4 p.m. kickoff over there. I think it's on Fox. I think so. It's not on TV here in Australia, but for me, Super Bowl is Chiefs Saints.
Yeah. Okay. Saints. Yeah, the Saints have the team. They had the team last year.
They've had the team the year before, and they had the team the year before. So, yeah.
I still wouldn't rule it out.
I don't know how many more heartbreaking ways you can have to be dumped out of the playoffs like the Saints have had the last 3 years. So you just got to hope that they've just got that steely. Okay, I've got to hope that they've got that steely resolve. They just got to get. Last year, I think they peaked too early. Once it come down to the end of the season, and they started to drop off, and it happened the season before as well when the LA Rams in the NFC Championship game, they were blowing everybody out, and then once it started to get to the back end of the season, they started to drop off. So I think they just need to slowly work themselves into it. Obviously, they've got Tampa Bay that'll be breathing down their neck in the division, so they could even be a wild card team.
Yeah, it's possible. I still wouldn't rule out Seattle Seahawks. They haven't lost anybody, and they've picked up some very good defensive weapons. So, yeah, the NFC is going to be very, very. It could go.
It's open.
You know, the glaringly obvious of how these teams perform in COVID environment. You know, look what's happening in the NBA.
Like, you think about teams that absolutely have a massive. Massive home field advantage. The Chiefs, the Saints, the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the teams like that the crowd is absolutely a factor.
Yep.
So what are they going to do that makes audibles easier to sort of pick up? It's going to be really, really strange to see how teams it could mean. That there could be a lot of low scoring games because teams know it's coming.
They haven't come out yet, but they've talked about making crowd sounds. Obviously, what we see on TV,
how do you replicate a place like Seattle where it's super loud, a place like the Superdome in New Orleans where it's unbelievably loud.
They're talking about hiding the sounds of audible calls and just any sort of play calls. I don't know how they're going to do it. I agree with you.
How they're going to do that. It's on the field. There's going to be guys out in the field. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I agree. While we're picking these teams and even Chiefs, it could be extremely wide open. Of course it is.
It's a coach's nightmare to be able to try and do up schemes. And basically, I think you're going to have to play a lot of games with a silent count.
Yeah.
Like how away teams would play Kansas City and places like that. You know, you're going to have no choice but to go to a silent count, and that just kind of means there's going to be more penalties from scrimmage.
Yeah, I agree. So that'll do it for the NFL podcast. Obviously, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter's at Final Play Pod, and you can get our pod everywhere that we've said every single week. I'm trying to run through this so it's not going to be so long. And a shout out again, as always, to Gimko, G-I-M-C-K-O.
G-I-M-K-O. Don't put a C in there.
Okay. GIMKO.com.au. Who always put our pods up, which is extremely grateful for us.
Right. Big platform for us. So, yeah, always a shout out to the Eureka community and the Gimco community. So, yeah, you can check us out there. Love what Eureka does, you know, with the card breaks and everything like that. You know, it's always massive. There's a big NFL break coming up that's going to be listed. What's today? Today's Monday, so it's going to be listed tomorrow night at 7 p.m. It's going to be $100 spot, 32 spots, $100 a spot. So if you're sort of listening, I'd say it'd sell out quick because it's going to be before the season starts. So just check it out on the Gimco page. It may not sell out quick, but they've got some really nice stuff. So some 2020 stuff. So it'll be all the 2020 rookies in there. You know, gold standard elements. Some really nice stuff. Hopefully I can remember to get online tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and maybe score myself a spot in it. So, shout out to Dom and Mojo King as per always. So, that we're always appreciative of what they do for us. So, that's the Gimco and Eureka community for us. So we'll always give those guys a shout out.
Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. Cannot wait for this NFL season to start because I have no idea what's going to happen, Smith.
Oh, this is just going to be the most bizarre season, I think, with limited crowds. What's going to happen when teams get hit with COVID-19? Because it's going to happen. Yep. It's going to happen. And you just got to hope it's not big superstars because that's going to really, really hurt some teams. So,
and unfortunately, in the superstars, you know, are in that sort of older age. You know, one's over 35. Tom Brady's, your Russell Wilson's, your Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. So, that'll be, if one of them get hit, it could be, detrimental. Not to the team, but for the whole NFL. So,
I don't think it'll affect their numbers too much, but it's still a player driven league, and you need your superstars, and obviously you need your superstar quarterback. So, you know, everybody says it's a quarterback driven league, and it absolutely is. So, they're your linchpins for success for the NFL. So, we just got to wait and see, and obviously injuries always come into it as well. It's just the added pressure of, staying in a bubble environment, if that's what they're going to do, once it gets later on to the season, because, once it gets later on, it's coming into winter. So you don't know what's going to happen.
All right. Have a good week, everyone.
See you.